Well, welcome along today, this 24th day of September 2023. Welcome to Fundamental Baptist Fellowship. Here we are. This is the beginning today of a new series on the Gospel of John. We're not discontinuing Revelation. We're going to do Revelation as well at other times. But this is a beginning of a series that will work between Revelation and the Gospel of John. And this is part one. This is the first message in the series on the Gospel of John. It's from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And the title of the message is God is the Word. God is the Word. Let's pray. Father, we would pray that your word would be rich, that we would have understanding to interpret the word properly through your spirit. Minister to us, Lord. Keep sin, Lord, as we are sensitive to the Spirit's leading, Lord, and we would ask, Father, that our hearts would be kept in the by the power of God, our minds can captive to the word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the first 4 weeks of the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, as many would know. The first, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And Matthew is written to the Jews, and it presents generally Jesus as a king. It talks about the kingdom. And Mark is written to Romans and presents Jesus as a servant. And Luke is written to the Greeks and presents Jesus as the perfect man. The humanity of Christ is seen in Luke. And John is written to the whole world and portrays Jesus as the Son of God. So John's gospel proves that Jesus Christ is God, and it talks about the deity of Christ, the fact that Jesus is God. So when we look at John's gospel, the theme is salvation through believing that Jesus is God, who became man and was born of a virgin in Bethlehem and lived for 33 years or so on earth and was crucified on the Roman cross, died and was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. And that's the gospel, and that was the purpose for our Saviour coming to this earth. And I just want you to look at verse 1 of John's gospel. I'll read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, folks, this is the truth that a child can understand, yet often it's beyond the ability of the greatest intellectual genius to comprehend it. It's got both. A child can understand it, yet beyond the greatest intellectual genius to comprehend that statement. The eternal, infinite God became a man, became human in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible is full of proof that Jesus is God, and I don't have time today to list the reasons. There's many reasons in the Bible that the Bible gives that Jesus is God. Yet the greatest statement perhaps in all of Scripture is that statement there: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, on your outline, the first point is the Word was eternally pre-existent. The Word was eternally pre-existent, okay? Now, in the beginning refers to not, it was the beginning of creation, okay? It's the beginning of the creation of the world. That's what that means. And was the Word. Now, you notice that was in the beginning was the Word. Now, if we wanted to know, if you didn't know, does anyone know the fastest way to work out what a word means if you're not sure what it means in the Bible without going anywhere else? Oh, I told you the answer. Yeah, because the Bible is its own best interpreter. Understand? If you don't understand, the Bible interprets itself. So you think, well, in the beginning was the Word. Who or what is the Word? Is it a Bible? The Word of God? Is it an object? What's the Word? Look over in verse 14 of John's Gospel. And what does it say? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the Word? The flesh. Who became flesh? Who was born in Bethlehem? Jesus. So the Word is Jesus. Why? Because the Bible says so. Okay? That's a Greek word, logos, the Word. It doesn't really matter. The point is that that word there, the Bible interprets itself. The Word is Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger, became flesh. In the beginning of creation. That means that in a time or beyond time, before time existed, because we know that Jesus exists outside of time. God doesn't have time like we do when we watch our watch. Look at our watches and think the clock goes around 24 hours a day. God doesn't work that way. He is sovereign over this earth, but he's beyond the realm of time. He doesn't have a time frame, you know, with God. There's no time with God. And in the beginning was the Word. That means continually in the past. So if you read that, you'd go, in the beginning of creation, continually in the past was Jesus. That's what that means. Jesus has always existed, was never created. He was never made. And he is eternally pre-existent. That's what that word pre-existent means. He was never created. He's always has been. So Jesus, in the beginning of creation, continually and in the past, was Jesus. In the beginning of creation, continually in the past, was the Word, Jesus. Now it says, and the Word was with God. Now, when we look at that, as far as I can gather, and when it says with God, that's a reference to the Godhead. Because Jesus is part of, the Bible teaches the Trinity. So he's the second person of the Godhead, Jesus. The first person of the Godhead is the Father, and the third person of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. So you've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And with God means face to face. And the Word was face to face with the Trinity. That's what that refers to. Face to face with the Trinity. And the Word was, next phrase, and the Word was God. Now, I was talking to Roger today about this, and it just intrigues me when we talk about that phrase. The Word, that means Jesus. Remember, the Word is Jesus? Jesus was God. And remember, the Word was means continually active in the past. So Jesus was continually active as God. Now, it intrigues me that Jehovah's Witnesses, be very careful with them. They've horrendously altered because of their prejudiced translation. Their Bible is called the New World Translation, and it perverts the text. And they've done something. They've done, and if you speak to a Jehovah's Witness, they'll say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They put the letter A in there. Now, I've got a copy of the Textus Receptus where the Bible was translated, the New Testament was translated from Greek, okay? And the Old Testament was translated from Hebrew. I've got a copy of the Greek Textus Receptus, the Greek text that the New Testament, King James, was translated from. And in English, there is something called an article. I've got written on my notes KISS. You know what that means? Keep it simple, stupid. That's what it means. You're not lecturing to Bible college students here, I know. I'm just saying that the Jehovah's Witnesses incorrectly, erroneously, intentionally change the meaning of that. The reason why they put that A in is because they want to write, Jehovah's Witnesses are the only cult on the planet that have ever written a Bible to substantiate their theology. They've rewritten the Bible so it suits their theology. But you can't do that, because it came out of a Greek text that doesn't have the letter A's in it. It's not in it, because it's what they call an indefinite article. And the letter A, the letter N, those two letters are not found anywhere in Greek. So where did A come from? They've decided they want to prove, they want to substantiate that Jesus was created. So if they say, and the Word was a God, not capital G, but lowercase g, then they can say, well, there you go. He's not God. He's not Jehovah God. He can't be. Well, God the Son. So they put it in there. Next time I talk to a Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm going to talk to them about that. Because you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses have a Bible called, as I said, the New World Translation. And you know, the New World Translation is translated out of a different text to the King James. But let me tell you this. The text that the Jehovah's Witnesses Bible was translated out of doesn't have letter A's either. Their own Greek text, the Westcott and Hort, for those who understand, does not have the letter A. It doesn't have the indefinite article, because Greek doesn't have it. They've changed, they put it in. Oh, how manipulative. Someone has said to me once, the most dangerous people on the planet are Jehovah's Witnesses, in many ways. The Word was God. And in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Well, that's who was in the beginning, that's the Word. And it's reiterating or saying the same thing as verse 1. The same was in the beginning with God, or the Word, or Jesus was in the beginning with God. And with God, of course, is there with the Godhead. So it's a trinity, that's it. It's plurality. So the Word was eternally pre-existent, uncreated, wasn't it? And then you have, number 2, the Word is the Creator. Verses 3 to 5, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Well, He's the Creator of all things. The Bible says, for by Him were all things created. This is in Colossians 1:16. that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And in Revelation 4:11b says, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So what happened was that the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there was a delegation given to Jesus. And the Godhead said, God the Son, it's your job to create. So he was the one who spoke the worlds into existence back in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the world. Jesus spoke his words and it all came into existence out of nothing. I won't say that because I haven't got it written down. But it... Ex nihilo. Yes. And I haven't got it written down, but you know what? It came, it means out of nothing. Everything came out of nothing. So we have a great creator, and he's the one who made the worlds. And you know what? He'll be the one who will judge people. He will judge the believer, not for their salvation, for their how they live their life at the judgment seat of Christ. And he will also judge the lost at the great white throne judgment. And the names are not found in the book of life, and they'll cast into the lake of fire. Jesus Christ is judge. So the Word was eternally pre-existent, number one. The Word is creator, number two. The Word is life and light, number three. Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, is life. Now, where it says there, in him was life in verse 4, and the life was the light of men, in him was life. That's not referring to physical life, which he gave at creator, but spiritual life, okay? That's referring to Zoe. It's spiritual life or eternal life. And so this eternal life is given to all the people who believe savingly in Jesus. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Just turn over to John chapter 3. We'll stay in John because it's easier to find it. John 3. Look at verse 15 of John chapter 3. John 3, verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look at verse 36 of John chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Wow. That's a great verse, isn't it? He that believeth in the Son of everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Where would you want to stand? With the wrath of God on you or on Jesus? You know, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, when you die, the wrath of God falls upon you. That's what happens. The wrath of God falls upon an individual. God's wrath of God the Father on Calvary falls upon an individual that leaves this life rejecting Jesus as Saviour. But if you leave this life with Christ in your heart, the wrath of God has already fallen on our Saviour. It doesn't fall on you. It fell on your behalf when Jesus took your place on Calvary and my place. And he died for you. And the wrath of God fell on Jesus. But if you reject Jesus and Jesus only, the wrath of God falls on an individual. Jesus came into the world to give life, says there. In him was life. And to have it, give it more abundantly. John 10:10. I am the bread of life and giveth life unto the world, John 6:33. His life. He gives eternal life. My mother got eternal life and she waited till she was 91. Don't wait that long. You might not get there. But God brought her low. She got cancer. And I thank the Lord that God brought a Christian lady to witness to her. And at 91 years of age, she trusted Christ. Tia, that was a glorious day. Her day of her funeral. Because I never ever thought I'd be able to preach the gospel like that. But I preached John 3:16 at my mum's funeral. That was the greatest joy of my life, was to preach at my mum's funeral. I said to all my relatives, I said, I probably won't be getting Christmas cards from any of you this year. I told them, I've always wanted to stand up and tell you all that Jesus Christ loves you and you can have eternal life, but you must repent. You must admit you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he's not only light, and the life was the light of, not life, and the life was the light of men. He's not only life, but he's also light. God's life also is the light of the world. Light shows the way. Light dispels darkness. Darkness doesn't dispel light. You walk in a room and turn the light on and the darkness goes. Light encourages. Jesus is called the light. In John 1:9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It lighteth every man. We're going to look at that in a moment. So we have the Word was eternally pre-existent. Number one, the Word is the creator. Number two. Number three, the Word is life and light. And number four, the Word is rejected. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 5 is a sad commentary. How the light of Jesus has been treated today. The light shines in the world. And the light of Jesus continues to shine in this world. There is no greater contrast between light and darkness, as I've said. Yet with all this light, there is so much rejection of it. Notice something here. Remember I said in verse, the darkness doesn't, it says in verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness. Notice this, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now that word comprehended doesn't mean understand. It means to take hold of. That's what it means. It's not that the darkness of the minds of unbelievers, it's not that people can't understand the light. It's not that you go out there and say, I don't understand the gospel. It's rather that they did nothing about it and they don't want to know about it. In other words, the world essentially ignores Jesus. That remains true to the present hour. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. John 3:19. Sin rejects light. Every person who is born physically has been exposed to the light. All those people in the world that say, I don't know about this, I've never heard, you know, I don't know. I know in many ways they might not have much knowledge, but you know something? Look at verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every human being that has ever been born into this world has some kind of degree of light exposed to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel. Man is without excuse. This means that Jesus, the Word of life, the light of the world, is enlightening people today. And somehow, I don't understand it, but somehow the light of Jesus, as I said, to some degree, has penetrated the heart of every man who has ever set foot on this planet. They've got some kind of exposure to the light somehow. And so the human race have all noticed the light and have either ignored it or willfully rejected it. And Paul says in Romans 1:20, they're without excuse. People are lost, not because they are ignorant of God so much. They are lost because they have chosen to reject God's light. God, in his perfect justice and love, has given to every human being a degree of innate light from God somehow. People are refusing to take hold of the revealed light that's been given to them. And the more exposure a person has to the light and rejects it, the more accountable they are. That's why the Jewish nation are so accountable to God, because they're God's chosen people. And the oracles of God, the very oracles of God, were given to that nation, and they've rejected so much of it. I know one day they'll come to Christ on one single day in the tribulation period, but the point is that that's why there's so much accountability to Israel. But you know, in closing today, we have the final point. The word is rejected, but the word is received. I want you to look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Receiving and believing are synonymous terms. It's just believing in your heart that Christ died for you. Call upon his name. As many as believed and called upon his name. Notice verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You know, people, that gives us three ways that a person can't get to heaven, and one way they can. There's three ways there that you can't get to heaven. Look at verse 13. Which were born not of blood. That's by birthright. That's family inheritance. There's a lot of things that your parents can give you. Your colour of your skin, your eye colour, personalities, lots of different things. But there's one thing that your parents can't give you. You can't inherit eternal life. Your parents can't give you eternal life. It's not by blood. It's not handed down from generation to generation like your gene structure is. Okay? Your parents can't give you a new nature. Only God can do that. That's not by blood. What's the other one? Nor of the will of the flesh. That's personal desire. You see, you can't become a Christian by self-determination. I can't say, for example, I become a soldier today because I went into a store and I bought a uniform and I'm putting it on and I'm walking around and I'm a soldier now. No. How do you become a soldier? You have to enlist in the army. And no one can say from now on, I will be a Christian, I'll go where Christians go, I'll speak like a Christian, I'll dress like a Christian. You must come to God on his terms. You can't do it by self-determination. You can't make yourself a Christian. Nor by the will of man. You know, it's the third one. Man-made system. It's not by self-determination, it's not by birthright, not by self-determination, and the will of man is by reformation. See, a priest or a minister or someone like that, a religious leader, can't make you a Christian. I was christened when I was a really young baby. And the water did nothing for my eternal soul. I can't get to heaven if I'm baptized. I've been baptized as an adult, doesn't save me. But it says there's one way to get there, and that's by God. So it's not of blood, that's human descent. not of the will of the flesh, that's human desire, and not of the will of man, that's human design, but of God. You see, living a good life, being baptised, giving money, taking the Lord's Supper, communion here on Sundays, none of these things can save me. Attending church, I can go to church till I drop dead. But going to a fellowship doesn't make me better. Doesn't improve me. Why? Because it's not about improvement. I can't even do anything about myself. It's God's grace. It's not by birthright. It's not by self-determination. It's not by reformation. But it's by regeneration, folks. It's by being born again, born from above. Born from above. When you trust Christ your Saviour, the Spirit of God comes in and gives your dead spirit life. And then you're no longer separated. You're born in trespasses. You're dead, born dead in trespasses and sins. But if you trust Christ as your Saviour, if you trust Him, your spirit is given life. And you now are joined to God. Your spirit has life. We can stop trusting in ourselves and we can flee to Christ, to the cross of Calvary. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know you're saved today? Are you sure if you drop dead today that you would know that you have a place in heaven? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the light of the world is Jesus. Father, thank you for your promise to us. As we sing that song, we'll remember, Lord, the light of the world is Jesus today. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can look to you and we can have assurance of our salvation by trusting you today. In Jesus' name, amen.